Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So President Joe Biden has addressed the Democratic Party National Convention, urging delegates to back the party's new nominee, Kamala Harris. It comes as the Democratic National Convention continues this week in Chicago. And in a reflective speech, Joe Biden said that Kamala Harris would continue the kind of policies that he had pursued.
I've been too young to be in the Senate because I wasn't 30 yet. And too old to stay as president. But I hope you know how grateful I am to all of you. I can honestly say, and I mean this from the bottom, give you my word as a Biden, I can honestly say I'm more optimistic about the future than I was when I was elected as a 29-year-old United States Senator. I mean it. You just have to remember who we are. We're the United States of America. And there's nothing we cannot do when we do it together. And above all, we need you to beat Donald Trump.
Well, that's Joe Biden. And speaking to his supporters, Donald Trump has said that the focus this week on the Democratic convention won't dampen his support levels amongst voters.
Every policy in the Trump agenda is designed to bring the jobs and wealth back home to America, where it belongs and where it's going to stay. Kamala puts America last. I put America first.
Well, for more on this, we're joined by Lindy Lee, who's member of the Democratic National Finance Committee, and Terry Sheridan, news director at WSHU Public Radio. And Terry, I want to talk to you first about events overnight. This was Joe Biden's farewell speech. He was made to wait, and understand, until close to midnight to deliver that. But he did offer a full defence of his presidency, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. In the 52-minute speech, he offered a defence of his presidency. It was basically his valedictorian speech. He was, in effect, saying goodbye. He was defending his record. He was offering his support, first condemning Trump and then offering his support for Kamala Harris. But it was an emotional speech for Joe Biden. It was a speech that he didn't want to deliver. It's only just a month ago that he was the candidate, and he thought he'd be speaking on the last night. So it was a very bittersweet moment for President Biden.
And he was introduced by his wife, Jill, and his daughter, Ashley. And that heightened the emotion, isn't it? Because they said that they had witnessed him dig deep into his soul when he made that decision to withdraw.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, last night was a night that was, in a way, unprecedented for any president. I mean, we haven't seen a president who has willingly stepped away from his reelection since 1968. A month ago, Joe Biden was, as I said, expected to be talking on the last night, offering his vision. He got his chance to offer his vision, against Donald Trump, for Kamala Harris, but not in the way that he thought it was. But again, the whole family thing is very important for Joe Biden. You know, he mentioned his son, Beau, who passed away from cancers related to his service. So, again, it was a family night, but it was also emotional.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have spoken on this program just this week about how the honeymoon period continues over the course of the convention for Kamala Harris. But how long can that moment last for her? Because she's going to face into the raw end of this campaign once this week is done.
It'll be interesting to see what the post-convention bump will be, or whether there will be a post-convention bump. Usually a candidate coming out of the convention will see a bump in their poll ratings. But Kamala Harris has already had a bump since she's taking over as the candidate. Will there be a bigger bump? Will it sustain? Will it just remain flat? That's going to be hard to see. But there is, in the Democratic Party, a growing just the level of support and enthusiasm for Kamala Harris. It just, to me, seems to be surprising, considering that before Joe Biden steps aside, there was someone, if he steps aside, it's going to be Kamala. So we'll see how that momentum or how that enthusiasm builds or sustains.
All right, Terry, thank you very much. And Lindy, that's a good point to come to you on as a member of the Democratic National Finance Committee. And I'm fascinated to know what you witnessed once that decision was made to change the candidate and the Democratic Party nominee. From a finance perspective, what did you see?
Hi, thank you so much for having me today. It was just night and day. Prior to Biden's departure, we had a tremendous difficulty raising any money. And I love President Biden. I love him on a personal level. He's been so good to me and my family. I introduced him to my Irish fiance. So the two of them are obviously both Irish. And he said the Irish have good taste in women. I know him on a personal level, and him leaving was gut-wrenching, but I also knew it was the right thing to do for the country. And it turned on this spigot immediately.
Mm-hmm. So you had far more ease in encouraging the big donors to come on board or to continue.
I didn't need to encourage anymore.
Oh, really?
It was not even a matter of asking. People were offering. I raised $1.1 million over the course of a year. I've been with the Biden-Harris campaign for a long time. So I've been doing this for a long, long time. Over the past year, I raised $1.1 million, and that took a lot of cajoling and honestly, like, teeth pulling. And I remember I hosted the president on May 1st, and it got to the point where I was sending, like, smiley face emojis and "please give" in capital letters. But I never had to do that with Vice President Harris. I am venture capitalist from Silicon Valley, just calling and offering. I have real estate developers and just everyday Americans. I'm Christian. I just hosted a Christians for Kamala event. We raised nearly $250,000 in 2 hours. And these are not big chunks of money, but they were like $100, $20, but tens of thousands of people showed up. So that's a lot of money.
Mm. And officially, we're told that her campaign raised $200 million in the first week when she was announced. Do you have a figure now on how big the war chest is for Kamala Harris's campaign?
Around $310 million.
And does that cut it?
No, this okay. is a multi-billion dollar operation. Absolutely not. I don't mean to be brusque with you. I'm just like, this is a billion dollar operation. They're spending hundreds of million dollars on my state alone, Pennsylvania. So there's no way.
So you're only about a third of the way there when it comes to the amount of money that you need.
Well, money has already been spent. I'm speaking in terms of like the whole thing. So it's already been about a year, right? So this is the whole thing is going to be multiple billions. And keep in mind, there are also PACs called Future Forward, the super PAC arm of the Harris campaign. Mm-hmm. And, their disclosure rules are much more lax. Super PACs are kind of under a shroud.
So it's really interesting to hear from you, because you have this great respect and personal love for Joe Biden. And
I was crying tonight. Today was really hard. Like, I also know Ashley. She's from Philadelphia like me. So I see her all the time. And this is just hard because it's I don't just see these, for most people, they're just politicians. But this is someone who knew my family, who met my dad a bunch of times, who met the love of my life, who, you know, remembers tiny details about me. So this is like really hard for me. I'm not even talking about presidents. I've never met a man as kind as Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. What you see on TV is who he really is.
And yet, Lindy, you were there with Joe Biden in Atlanta on the night of the debate with Trump. So tell us what the impact of that was on your fundraising efforts.
Well, it ended my fundraising efforts.
Really?
And you know, it's a lot coming from me because I'm a diehard Biden supporter. Not just supporter, I'm like, I'm an OG, original gangsta. I'm like with him all, I've been with him for a long time. But it got to the point, like in early July, where when it was like embarrassing to ask, I stopped asking.
You stopped asking altogether.
Because I'm asking people who are business executives, like CEOs, CFOs, they view everything through whether it's a winning business proposition. You know, they see everything through whether it's a viable cost benefit analysis, and it was just clearly not.
Yeah, but it'd just be interesting to see now what happens after the convention, because, you know, Democrats have been warned that this is going to get far more difficult for Kamala Harris. She's going to have to debate Donald Trump herself. She's going to have to give interviews at some point post Thursday. Are you nervous about the next couple of weeks?
I'm actually not at all. This is the first time in my adult life I'm not nervous. I was deeply nervous about Hillary. And I understand that people love her and everything. I owe you honesty and full disclosure, right? But Hillary was a deeply flawed candidate. You know, her family carries a lot of controversy that Vice President Harris simply does not have. And I'm not worried about the debate. I'm excited for it. I'm exhilarated. First of all, it's going to be in my city, so I don't have to travel that far for the watch party, number one. Number two, she's a seasoned prosecutor. And the way that she grilled Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court justice, the way that she grilled Bill Barr, their attorney general, and other Republicans is just, it was formidable. Yeah, so I'm really excited to watch.
I suppose, Lindy, the concern people have is that we haven't really seen that version of Kamala Harris over the last 4 years while she's been vice president. And that might give rise to some nervousness. And as Terry alluded to there, there wasn't the great enthusiasm for her before the debate between Biden and Trump that led to this moment.
The thing is, you know, I've been with her for the past 4 years as a surrogate. I've seen her grow. The Kamala that you saw in 2019, and let's be honest, the Kamala whose candidacy kind of maybe petered out a bit in 2019 is not the Kamala we have today. She has grown. She is like, she's blossomed into this like juggernaut. I haven't felt this level of excitement since I was a kid rooting for Senator Obama. And I, even though she hasn't been grilling the likes of Kavanaugh, I've seen her up close. I know that she can do it. I've seen her speak right off the cuff on very complicated issues. The way that she's talking about the expansion of the child tax credit, the way that she's talking about $35 insulin and other healthcare matters and bringing down costs, and how she's acknowledging, yes, the economic indicators do indicate that the situation has improved in regards to prices and inflation. It's still not where it should be. She's acknowledging it. So she's breaking...
Lindy, we will let you get some sleep. Thank you so much for talking to us. And we'd love to keep in touch with you over the course of the campaign when we see how it all plays out. That's Lindy Lee, who's a member of the Democratic National Finance Committee. Back after this break.
Text 51551. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.